Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet. And we're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Phyllis, Janet Frucht, Freda Yecht Bas Yisrael, and Sam Michaels, Yeshaya Ben Pinchas. Shabbos' Daf was learned also Le'ilu Nishmas, Marilyn Platt's father, Arthur Jacobs, Asher Ben Yitzchak Halevi. All the Shams we learned for Shev and Aliyah. And we begin by a little bit above the two dots by the words Gufa on Kuf Dalet Omud Aleph, about 10-15 lines down. Gufa. So this is just a continuation, really, of yesterday's shir. We repeat what we said in yesterday's shir. Omer Reb Chista, Reb Chista says, Mem v'samach shebeluchos, the mem and the samach that are found in the luchos, b'nei sayu omdim. Now this is going according to the opinion that we're dealing here with the end mem, with the mem sophis, which is a square letter, and the insides of that letter obviously are not connected to any other part because they're surrounded by the mem. So the inside would fall out if you had chiseled it out, and the luchos, as we'll see, could be seen on all different sides, so it was chiseled through and through. And likewise the samach, which is a circular letter, and these two letters have an inside. All the other letters are connected to the rest of the luchos, so to say, with various connections. But these are, since they're contained, the inside would fall out. So the mem and the samach and the luchos, we said in yesterday's shir, b'nei sayu omdim. They would be standing miraculously without falling out. Amr Chista qualifies this and he says, k'sav shebeluchos nikwa mi bifnim v'nikwa mi b'chutz. Said a miracle occurred that you could see the luchos on both sides. For example, kigon nevuv would be read, the word nevuv would be read buvon. That's when you read it backwards, you'd see it on one side, it would be the mirror image on the other side. So a person looking at it on, let's say, the northern side, so a person looking at it on the southern side would see the exact opposite. Likewise, if you had the word bahar, you would see the word rahav on the other side. If you had the word saru, you would see the word Sru on the other side. So these are the different ways you could look at the luchos and see the words mirror images of each other. That's not the way all the Mepharshim understand this, though. Some of the Mepharshim understand Rav Chista, and this is seen in the Marsha, this is Rashi and Chumash as well, that the luchos miraculously able to be read, not as the mirror image, but each side was read as if you were reading it straight in the proper way. So the word nevuv on one side would be nevuv on the other side as well. And you would see it. It would look the exact same as you read it on all the different sides. Okay, it was a miracle how the luchos were. The Gemara continues and says, Amile Rabbonon L'Rishu ben Levi. The Chachanim said to Rishu ben Levi, Also Dardike Ha'idna L'Vei Midrasha, there are certain young Tamidei Chachanim, Dardike is young Tamidei Chachanim that have come to the Beis Medrash. The Amru Mile, and they said, words da filu bime Yoshua bin Nun, lo itmar kavasayu. During the days of Yeshua bin Nun, they didn't say such amazing things as these Dardike said now. And this introduces us, since we just had about the Luchos, the different letters of the Luchos, so now we're going to have a very interesting discussion, Lagarta to Gemara, to the bottom of this Amud, about the Aleph base. But before we start that, we look at Tosos. Tosos Dibra Masko, Amalevi Yeshua bin Levi, also Dardike. So he says in Yushalmi, and also in the Bereishis Rabbah, it's brought down who these Dardike were. Some of these Dardike, some of these young Tamidei Chachamim, he says, were Rabbi Eliezer, the great Tana Rilezer Agodol, and Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua ben Chananya, his bar plukta throughout Shas. They were a dame of Rabbi Akiva. They were at the same time period as Rabbi Gamliel. These were these great, great Tanoim, and they're called Dardiki. They were younger over here, and they came in and said these unbelievable drushos. Now, why did we say Bedavka that we hadn't heard such drushos since the days of Yeshua ben Nun? So the Marsha brings down as well that during the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, they forgot 300 halachos, and they sat and they shteiged and they learned, and they were able to figure out all of the halachos, but the one that they weren't able to figure out was the mansepach, these letters that are sophist letters. They didn't understand this drasha. That's why we said in yesterday's shir, shechachim, they'd forgotten what the halacha was, and later on, the Nevi'im were able to re-figure out what the correct understanding was of these letters. So that's why it says that nobody had done something like this since the days of Yeshua ben Nun. They couldn't figure out the mansepach, and now these Dardike, this Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer Agadol, they were able to figure out these unbelievable insights into the Aleph Beis. With that, we begin. What are these insights? So we have the word Aleph Beis. They're going to darshan all the letters in different ways. That stands for Elaf Bina. Right, we have the little children's books when they begin learning their Aleph Beis. They're always called an Aleph Bina. So that's where it comes from this Gemara over here. Aleph Bina It means that you should go and learn Torah. So Rashi says, Limod Torah. That's what the Aleph Bina stands for. Go and learn Torah. Gimel Dalis. What is that an abbreviation for? Gimel Dalim. Go and help out the needy people, the poor people. Gemara says, My time of Pshuta carry the Gimel. Legabi Dalis. Why is the letter, the leg of the Gimel leaning towards the Dalit? In other words, why does the left leg of the Gimel, in the proper way that the letter is written in the Sefer Torah, for example, why does it lean towards the Dalit? What's the point of that? So the Gemara tells us, Shekein Darko Shel Gomel Chasadim. It's the nature of a person who's a Gomel Chasadim, who's interested in doing good for other people. Lorutz Achar Dalit. He doesn't sit there and wait till somebody knocks on his door to give tzedakah. He goes and seeks out people that need tzedakah. So that's why the leg symbolically of the Gimel is running, is leaning towards the Dalit. So Mori says, "My time up, Pshuta carry the Dalit Legabi Gimel." And why then is the Dalit, right? The Dalit comes down on one side; it comes down on the right side. Why doesn't it come down on the left side? So it wants to be nearer to the Gimel. So the letter leg of the Dalit is near the Gimel, in order that the Limtzei Lei Nafshei, so that the poor person doesn't give a hard time to the person trying to do help for him. He should, so to say, make it easier for the one who wants to do Gemilas Chasadim for him to find him. So that's why the leg of the Dalit is close to the leg of the Gimel. My time of Mahadra paid the Dalit's Gimel, but why is the Dalit, so to say, turned away from the Gimel? The letter Dalit faces in the direction, you can't see into the letter Dalit. The Gimel, when it looks at it, sees, so to say, like the back of the letter Dalit. So why is that? The Litan Melbitzinah, to teach us an important principle, that it's more important to give tzedakah without the person knowing it. There are many stories in the Gemara where people would give tzedakah, and they would go out of their way to make sure that the person getting the tzedakah didn't know who was giving it to them, so they shouldn't be embarrassed. If you give somebody tzedakah, every time he sees you, he's embarrassed. Oh, that guy knows that I'm poor. That guy has helped me out. And there's a certain level of embarrassment. So if you want to give tzedakah in the highest level, so the Rambam, when he lists all the levels of tzedakah, so the highest level is actually to give somebody a loan so they can do business. But the next highest level is that you don't know who you're giving it to, and the person who's getting it doesn't know who he's getting it from. But if you can't do that level, at least the person who's getting it should know that you're the one giving it to him. And that's why the Dalit, so to say, faces away from the Gimel. He doesn't see who's giving him the tzedakah. Kihechi delo lichsif mineis. He shouldn't be embarrassed every time he sees him. The next letter in the Aleph Bay is, Hey Vav, Zeshmo Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. This stands for the Shem of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The Hey and the Vav represent HaKodesh Baruch Hu's name. Then Zayin Ches Tes Yud Kof Lamed. So they're going to be new tricones. We're going to use these words to abbreviate certain ideas. So what do they abbreviate? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us over here, Vimata Osechein, if you go do Aleph Bina and you do Gimel Dalim, if you go and learn Torah and you go and help out the poor people, then Hey Vav, Hashem will make it HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will do Zayin Ches Tes Yud Kof Lamed. So the Zayin stands for Zon. He'll give you all the things that you need. He'll support you. Zon Osecha. The Chain Osecha. He'll give you Chain. In other words, you'll find favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. The Tes is Meitiv Lecha. He'll make it good for you. The Yud is Venosein Lecha Yerusha. You'll get a tremendous inheritance. The Chof over here stands for Vekosha Lecha Keser. The Keser is the crown. You'll have the crown of Torah on you. And when you will have this, La'olam Abba, that's the Lamed. So that's what the Zayin Ches Tes Yud, Chof, and Lamed are representing over here. Then we go after the Lamed, we go to Mem. Mem has a sophis and it has a regular letter. So Mem Psucha is the Mem at the beginning or middle of a word, and Mem Stuma is the Mem at the end of the word. So this is Maimur Pasuch u Maimur Sosum. Sometimes Rashi explains, a person has to have Yesh Dvarim Shanos and Rishus L'Darshan. Sometimes it's things that you're supposed to learn publicly. V'yeshata Mitzuveh L'Sotman. And sometimes you're not supposed to learn them publicly. What's an example of something you shouldn't learn publicly? You could go Ma'aseh Merkavah, the famous Ma'aseh Merkavah in Yecheskel, where he describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Merkavah. So that's not something that can be understood. You can't just give that to a Shia, to the Balabatim. That's only for very, very few selected individuals to understand that. So sometimes there's a Maimur Pasuk, there's Shiurim you say publicly. It's sometimes shiurim that you say in a more private way, only to individuals. Next letter is Nun. It also has a beginning letter and an end letter. Nun kefufa is the Nun in the middle is bent, and the Nun pshuta, the Nun at the end, is straight. So the Gemara says, this is telling us, Nemon kofuf, the Nemon pashut. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Adam kashut tzorech lios kofuf, the onof, person in his lifetime here in this world, has to be bent over. He has to be subordinate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to be humble, anof. The sova, however, if a person acts like that in this world, lios pashut v'zakuf li'olam haba, in the world to come, so then he'll be recognized for who he is, a big tzaddik. He'll be standing upright. He'll be straight. And that's what the nun stands for, sometimes bent and sometimes pashut. After Nun comes the Samach and the Ayin. Samach and Ayin, what do they stand for? So, Smoch Aniyim, go support poor people. Similar to Gomel Dalim. So some suggest that it doesn't only mean the financial support. Gomel Dalim means to give them financial support. Here it means to give them other types of support. Maybe this would mean to give them a job. Maybe this would mean to give them encouragement, etc. When a person gives tzedakah, the amount of tzedakah is not necessarily the most important thing. It's the way you give the tzedakah that's more important. The person just throws the money at the poor person and says, get out of here. Another person doesn't have so much money to give him, but gives it to him with a smile, gives him a glass of water. So then maybe the smaller amount of money is actually the proper way that, if that's all you have, to give to the poor person with encouragement rather than just giving him a larger donation and making him embarrassed. Alternatively, Lishnachrina, another reason for the Samach Ayin being together, Simonim Ase Batorah Ukneosa. You should make Simonim. Rashi tells us over here, so Seder Hashmuas, the Tana O Amora, Begirsa Delotishkach Achas Men Kagon Elush B'Shas. He says, you make all these Simonim. We have Simonim all throughout Shas. We have mnemonics. We have all sorts of ways to help us remember. He says, if you make these mnemonics, then you'll remember the Torah better. People do this when they study for a test. They make all sorts of mnemonics for themselves, and therefore you'll remember it better. So by Allah Haskam of Kami, you should do this by the Torah as well. That's why I always mention it's very important to say these simonim because you're following the words and advice of Chazal when the Gemara gives these simonim. Then it says, pay kefufa, pay pshut. The next letter after Samach Ayin is pay. So you have the regular pay, and then you have the end of pay. You have the pay sofis. So this refers to pe pasuach, pe sosum. Rashi says, pe pasuach means b'shas hamechansim pazer. So when there are other people to give, when there's nobody else to give the shir, everybody else is, so to say, gone indoors, so then you have to go give the shir. Pesosum means b'shas hamefazim, when there are plenty of people to give the shir, kanes, then you should go inside. In other words, there's a time for a person to go give a shir, right? And there's a time to let other people give the shir. You have to know when to do that. So if there's a greater person around you, you should be subordinate to the greater person. Everybody likes to give a shir. Everybody likes to be in the public eye. Everybody likes to be seen and noticed. But that's not always the right way. So if there's nobody else to give the shir, so then, go and volunteer to give the shir. But if there is somebody giving the shir, and he's better than you, he's older than you, he's more knowledgeable than you, so then don't rush in to give a shir. So in that situation, there's a time to say, there's a time not to say. Then we have the next letters, tzadi. That's tzadi kofufa, the tzadi pshut. Again, we have a regular tzadi, and we have the tzadi sofis. So this implies tzadi kofuk, tzadik Poshut. We have the tzaddik that's bent, and we have the tzaddik that is erect, straight up. Like Morris says, this sounds exactly like the nun. So we're like redoing that drasha. We said by the nun, there's the hainu nemon kofuf, nemon poshut. So you have the nun, he's bent over in this world, and he'll be nemon in the world to come. So is that the same thing with the tzaddik? So Morris says, no. Hosif lo hakosif kefifa kefifaso. This is a very important idea. Ma'od, ma'od, hefishval ruach, we say in Pirkei Avos. Person has to be extra, extra humble. Because that's a natural tendency of a person to look for covet, to look to be in the limelight. So that's why this drasha had to be repeated twice. Mikan, shenit na Torah, bimnod rosh. Rashi explains over here, bimnod rosh means bereses v'yanova yisera. It's given with extra awe and trembling and extra humbleness. Who's the greatest person ever to learn Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Ha'ish Moshe Anov Ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most anov dika person, right? We just had this in last week's parsha. At the end of Va'aloscha, where we find the story with Aaron and Miriam saying Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ishanav, he was the most humble man in the world. So that's why he was successful being the most knowledgeable in Torah in the world. The next letter in the Aleph Beis, Kuf. What does that stand for? Kadosh. That stands for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reish. What does that stand for? That stands for the Rasha, the person who is unfortunately not following what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So now the Gemara says, Mai taima mahadir apei de kuf ne reish. Why is the kuf, so to say, turned away from the reish? Obviously, the reish is turned away from the kuf. Rashi says that this is lishna ma'alyo. This is a nice way of saying it. Shachorav shoreish legabi kuf. That the back of the reish is to the front of the kuf. It's instead of saying that the Rasha turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see the face of the Rasha. Shen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rosha listakel b'pnei Rasha. Hashem doesn't want to, so to say, be associated with the Rasha. Right? He says, Shalom. Benish Isha, if a man and his wife have peace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be there. But when there's no Shalom Benish Isha, Hashem takes away his name. So if you take away the Yud and the K from the Ish and the Isha, you're left with an Ish, you're left with a fire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be around Machlokas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be around Rishayim. We find the same idea. You're not supposed to look at the face of a Rasha. The Gemara tells us, don't look even at the face of a Rasha. As opposed to a Talmud Chacham, he's supposed to look at his face and become enamored with the tzidkus of the Rasha by the tzaddik by just looking at his face. So, my time of Mahadir Ape the Kuf Merei, so Amar Kosh Baruch Hu says, Ein ani yachol listakel b'Rasha. I can't even bear to look at this Rasha. It's a terrible thing. When you look at a Rasha, it influences on you. It has an impact on you. If a person is associating with bad people, so even if he says, I'm not going to learn from them, he will learn from them. So Kosh Baruch is telling us, don't even look at the Rasha. Stay away from the Rasha. Umay Taima, however, Mahadra, Tage de Kuf, Lagabi Reish. The Kuf has a little tag. The Tagim are little Zions that you find in various letters. So there is a little tag on the top of the kuf. Now, it could be on the right of the top of the kuf, or it could be on the left of the top of the kuf. My time, Mahadri Tagi, the kuf, Lagabi Reish. Why is it all the way near the Reish? If you look at the Aleph Beis and you put the letters in order, so this tag is as close to the Reish as possible. If we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be near the Rasha, so put the tag on the other side. No. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us a very important idea. Im Chozer Bo, always give a Pesach for the Rasha to come back. Ani koshelo kesa kimosi. If he does want to come back, if he wants to do tshuva, I'll make it good for him. The tag, the crown, will be very easily available to him. I'll give him a kesher, just like I have in my kuf. I'll be happy to share it with the Rasha. My time, I carry the kuf teluya. Why is the kuf, the left side, the leg of the kuf, is hanging in midair? It's not connected to the top. We could have connected it to the top. Why wasn't it connected to the roof of the kuf? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us, if this person wants to do tshuva, make it real easy. The reish, so to say, can jump right through that little window. Make it easy for the Rasha to come back and do tshuva. We have the same idea by the letter hey, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up that space there so the Rasha can come inside if he wants to do tshuva. The hader bay li'ayil. Where it says, nope, there's already a space at the bottom. Leo Bahach, why doesn't he go in from the bottom? There's a space over there. So where it says, Messiah Leila Reish Lakish. This is in support to what Reish Lakish said. What did Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish, what does the Pasuk say? Im la leitzim hu yolitz. If the people are acting like leitzim, leitzim is somebody who's always scoffing, always making fun. Right? So this person, if he's a leitz, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, no, I'll give you stuff to be a leitz about. La novim yitinchen. However, and people are anovim, if they're humble, if they subordinate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll find favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. So the Gemara is telling us, Bali Tame Poslo. The way a person acts, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him out. If a guy wants to be a Rasha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it, he's going to make the bus and get to the place where he's going to on time and do his rishus over there. As opposed to if a person really doesn't want to go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that he doesn't make the bus. If he's like forced into it and he really doesn't want to go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him an out. He'll help him not to go to that place. So, Bali Tame, if a person wants to be a late, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him plenty of opportunities, post him low. However, Bali Tar, if a person wants to do tshuva, if a person wants to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misayinu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. If a person wants to give tzedakah, he has tons of tzedakah opportunities. He's the one that's inundated with letters in the mail. He's the one that's inundated with emails. He's the one inundated with people coming to his door. The guy that doesn't want to give tzedakah, you know, after a while, nobody comes to his door. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give him the opportunities. So the way a person wants to act, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treat him. Shin, what does the shin stand for? Sheker. Shin is the opposite of tof. Tof stands for emes. So you have falsehood and you have emes, truth. So the shin and sheker and tof and emes are opposite each other. And there's a lot of physical things that you can see in these letters. Two things that the Gemara is going to tell us now. My time is sheker mekarvin milei. The letters shin, kuf, and reish are right next to each other in the aleph base. So how come they're so close to each other? So the Gemara says, emes, the letters aleph, mem, sof are as far away as possible. Aleph is the first letter, sof is the last letter, mem is right in the middle. Merachakum milei. They're so far away. So why is the letters made in this way? Why is the word sheker all close and the word emes as far apart as possible? So Gemara tells us shikra shchiach. Shikra is very common. Very, very common to find people telling lies. Very, very common that people don't tell the truth. So therefore, they're close together. It's very common. Kushta, truth? Oh, lo shchiach. That's not common. Therefore, it's very far away. Alternatively, umay taima shikra achado kari koi. Why are all the letters of shikra coming to a point? The shin, in the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, it comes to a point. It's not a flat base. All the three top parts of the shin, they all come down to a point. Likewise, the kuf, it has the point. The leg comes down to a point. It stands on the long leg of the kuf. And the reish comes down to a single point also. So all these letters, shin, kuf, and reish, they're sheker, they all come to a point. They're not broad-based. However, you find the opposite. The emes, the word emes, the aleph, the mem and the sof, milabing libune. They're like bricks that are laid out. The MS, the aleph, has two legs to it, and the sof has two legs to it, and the mem is a flat, broad base. So what is this telling us? Kushta koi, shikrilo koi. Kushta is going to be permanent. Kushta is going to be long-standing. It's firmly based. Sheker is standing on a point. It's going to easily be toppled. Sheker is false. That was the first going through of the aleph base. Now we have another way to go through the aleph base, known as the atbash. Atbash is a type of gematria, but it's also a way that you can divide up the aleph base. So the first letter goes with the last letter. The second letter goes with the second to last letter, as we'll see. So atbash, that's why it's called atbash, this type of gematria, this type of darshaning. So this is teaching us O-C-T-A-V, S-A-V-L-O. The way Rashi understands is the Loshon Bismia. Everything is Tmiya. Everything is, wow, is that true? Like a rhetorical question. So the Gemara darshens it in the following way. Aleph Tov, O-C-T-A-V, you made me into something that's disgusting. And Rashi says, so now we ask the second part, S-A-V-L-O. So now is Hashem talking in the Loshon Bismia, and I'm going to want you? Would I want you if you're making me disgusting? Am I going to want you? That's the way Rashi understands it. The Marsha understands it in a more positive way. The Marsha understands it. He says, "Oh, CTA, if you made me disgusting, nevertheless, Esavolo, I still look for you and want you to do tshuva." And that's the way the entire Atbash is going to be. Rashi seems to be saying each time it's a rhetorical question. And because you did this to me, you think I'm going to want you? And the Marsha says, even though you did this to me, I still want you. That's the same way. So I won't dash it out each time. I'll just read the words. So where it says Beis Shin, the Bash part, so that's an abbreviation. Be lo choshak, you had nothing to do to me. You didn't want to be attached to me. Shmi yochol olav, and therefore, do you think my name will rest upon you? No, it won't. Or, nevertheless, I still want my name to rest upon you. The Gimel Reish, what does that stand for? Gufo time, you've made your bodies all tame. Arachim olav, you think I'll do rachamim on you? That's the Reish, the rachamim. So you've made yourself all tame. Will I be merciful to you? Or, you made yourself tummy, nevertheless, I'll be merciful to you. The Dalib Kuf, what is that? That's the next letters of the Atbash. Those who say, no, you closed my doors. In other words, you didn't go to the base madrash, you didn't learn, you didn't do the things I asked you to. So therefore, you close the doors on me, kind of lo agadeya. I'm going to close the doors on you. I'm going to cut down your keren. Your keren won't be able to survive. Shouldn't I cut it down? Kind of lo agadeya, or nevertheless, you're kind of, I will not cut down. Now, we don't darshan any further in the Atbash in the negative, because the next letters are Hey and Bab, which is the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be negative. So now we darshan it back again, the Atbash, in the positive way. Adkan Midas Rishoyim. We only darshan this Aleph Tav Beis Shin, Gimel Reish, Dalet Kuf, but we don't go any further. That's by the Midas Rishoyim. Aleph Midas Tadikim, but for positive, we go a lot further. Imat Tobosh. Now we darshan the Atbash in a positive way. Imat Tobosh, if you are embarrassed. It says one of the signs of a yid is that he's a baishan. He's embarrassed. We do something wrong. We're embarrassed. Nope. A taiva sometimes takes us over. We can't control ourselves. But we're not happy about it. We're embarrassed about it. So if you're a bosh, if a Kosh Baruch Hu sees that you're upset that you do these sins, so then you know what's going to happen? Gar dak, imureish dalet kuf, im ata osa kain. If you in fact are embarrassed when you do something wrong, so that's the lashon over here of gur dak. Dugur bidok, which means, Rashi explains, Navshicha tehei tsrua tachas kisoi, your soul will, so to say, be intertwined with my kisei. The dok means shamayim, and you'll survive, you'll live up in shamayim. That's what gor dok means. Then we continue. Here we have the hey and the tzadi, the vav and the fei. So this tells us, again, continuing the atbash, chatzit zahavi bein chol la'av. If you do this, again, if you're embarrassed when you sin, then there will also be this chatzitza, that's the hay. The hay and the ches can be interchanged. And that's the tzadi, the chatzitza. So that's the hay tzadi. And heve ben chol la'af. So between me, the vav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and af. There will be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will set up a barrier. He won't allow there to be any anger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to you. Likewise, zayin aleph ches samach. Test nun, this nutricon will be here. The einato mizdazeya. You likewise, if you're embarrassed when you do a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let you go and mizdazeya. This name means to shake, to tremble. It's the zayin and the ayin. And then it says min hasoton. So the hey over here is the ches and the hey can be interchanged, as we said. The samach and the sin are often interchanged, and the test and the nun stands for sotan. So you won't be afraid of the sotan. If you are embarrassed when you do sin, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it, you won't have to tremble and quake in front of the Satan. Then it says, Yud Mem Chof Lamed, that concludes the Akbash over here. So, Omar, Sar Shel Gehenim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Satan, the Malach HaMavetz, the Sar Shel Gehenim, says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Layam Kol. Rashi explains, Gehenim Kori Yam Kol. That Gehenim is called Yam Kol. Why? Lefi Sherov Holchem Shom, because most people go there. So therefore, the Satan is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give all the Jewish people to me. Let them come into Gehenim. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here we respond in another type of drasha of the Aleph Beis. And here you're basically breaking up the Aleph Beis into three groups of seven. Now there are 22 letters, so the 22nd letter is going to go in the third group. So it'll be 7, 7, and 8. And we answer the following way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Satan, no, you can't have the Jewish people. Now he reads the letters of the Aleph Beis, the first letter Aleph, then the eighth letter, seven letters later is the Ches, then another seven letters later is the Samach, and then you go to the next group, that's Beis, Tes, and Ayin, then you go to the next group, Gimel, Yud, and Fe. Again, each one is three groups of seven, so we take the first of the three groups of seven, then we take the second, and second of three groups of seven, the third, etc., until we get to the last one, be 7, 7, and 7 and 8. So, in any rate, this is how we're going to darshan this. Each letter stands for, so to say, a conversation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having with the Satan. So, the Aleph is Ani, the Ches is Chos, etc., and Ani Chos Aleim, I will have mercy on them. So, the Ches over here and the Samach are in the word Chos. So Hashem is saying, Ani chos aleihem, I'm merciful on the Jewish people, he's telling the Satan, Mimnei sheboatu, and here's we have the Beis, Tes, and Ayin, sheboatu means that they were moreid, they rejected, they didn't do gif. What is begif? So Rashi says, gif is niyuv, they didn't commit adultery, they didn't commit all sorts of sexual immoralities. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you ain't getting my people. Furthermore, he says, Dalev Chof Tzadi, that's the fourth letter of each of the sevens. So Dalev Chof and Tzadi, this stands for the Jewish people are Dakim Haim. Dakim is a Loshon of Tahorim. They're holy, they're pure. Kainim Haim, they're correct. Loshon Kain, yes. And Tzadikim Haim, that's the Tzadi, stands for they're righteous people. And finally, the Hei Lamed Kuf, that's the fifth letter of each of the groups of seven. So this stands for Ein Lecha Chelek Behem. The Hei and the Ches are interchangeable, that you have no Chelek in my people, they're not going to Gehenim. Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba. And finally, we have the last letters, which are the sixth and seventh letters, respectively, of the first two groups, and the sixth and seventh and eighth letter of the third group. That's Vav, Mem, Resh, Zayin, Nun, Shin, and Sof. So this is Omar Gehenim Lefadav. The Gehenim responds back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Vav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Ribono Shel Olam, the Gehenim is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Vav. Marei, that's the Mem and the Resh, my master HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, please, Zunini, Mizaro Shoshes, that's the next letter. The Zion is go and sustain me. That's the Zion and the Nun. Mizaro Shoshes, from all the children of Shes. Now, none of us come from Cain, and none of us, unfortunately, come from Hevel. Hevel was killed without any children. All of Cain's children were wiped out in the flood. All of us come from Noah, and Noah came from Shes, was the third son of Adam. So therefore, the Satan is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, give me from the children of Shes. In other words, don't differentiate between the Jews and the non-Jews. So how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Satan, and we have one last Aleph Beis darshaning system over here. And this one is where we have the first letter and the 12th letter together. So there's two groups of 11, 11 and 11. So it's 1 and 12, 2 and 13. So that's what the Aleph Lamed Beis Mem Gimel Nun Dalet Samach. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells back to the Sar Shel Gehen. Lehecha, now the year that we have is Olichein, but it should be Olichein with the Mem it says on the side. Lehechon Olichem. Where am I going to bring the Jewish people? Not to you, not to Gehenim. Legan Hadas. I'm going to bring them to Gan Eden. Rashi says the Hadas is a beautiful, smelly thing that represents Gan Eden. So the Tzaddikim are also referred to as Hadasim. So this is the idea of I'm not going to send them to Gehenim. I'm going to bring them to Gan Eden. That's what those letters are the new trikon for. Then it says Hey Ayin Vav Fei. So Omer Gehenim the Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Gehenim responds to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. No, Ribono Shel Olam. That's the Hey. Oyev, now the Vav and the Yud can be interchanged as well. As we learned previously, there's just a slight difference in their height. So the Satan is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm tired, I need food, give me these Jewish people. Oyev Anochi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, no, Zayin Sadi Ches Kuv. No, that stands for Halalu, Zaro, that's the Zayin, Shel Yitzchok, that's the Tzadi, Ches, and Kuf. So these are the children of Yitzchak. We learned previously that Yitzchak came to Klal Yisrael's defense. It said over there that Avram had no teretz, Yaakov had no teretz, but Yitzchak came to Klal Yisrael's defense. So we had this Gemara on Daf Pei Tes. So this is alluding to that idea that Yitzchak is our progenitor. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, no, you have no share in them. That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak came and said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the big deal? There's 70 years of life, and the first 20 years you don't punish them, and half the time they're sleeping, half the time they're in the bathroom, and so there's a couple of years left. So if you don't want to take it, I'll take it upon me. And in the Schus of the Akedah, Yitzchak. So we're Zaros or Yitzchak. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes off and he says, Tes, Reish, Yud, Shin, Chof, and Tov. Tar, Yeshli. Rashi says, Tar means to wait. Hamtein. Shmor li v'hamtein. Wait. Kito shalov v'kochovim shani nosin l'cho. He says, listen, Gehenim, I'm going to take care of you. I take care of everything. Hashem tells Poseach Zidecho Mzbiel L'chol Chai Ratzon. He even gives Gehenim what Gehenim needs. So he said, don't worry, I got kitos of people that I'm going to serve to you. Ovdei Kochavim, all these people that are idolaters, you'll have plenty of opportunity to have them in Gehenim. Those I'll give to you. Bakla Yisrael, Ko Yisrael, Yeshlem Chelek Liolam Haba. That concludes this very beautiful Agadita, and we'll go to the Omid Beis now and begin the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah begins. Hakosiv shnei osios behelam achad chayav. The person writes two letters in the same forgetfulness. He didn't realize it's Shabbos, so then he's chayav. We had this previously, and the Gemara says this is really going to be brought down because of the next Mishnah. That's why we need this as an introduction. Now it tells us, ksav b'dio, if you were to write the letters with ink. Ink is usually black ink, that's dio. Or you write it b'sam. Sam is another type of ink. The Gemara will explain what it is. Or you write besikra. Sikra is a red painting like an ink. Kumus is another type of dio. Kankantom is another type of dio. They're all different types of materials that you can write with. The Gemara will explain what some of them are. In any event, if you write with anything, b'chol davar roshim, anything that makes a permanent mark as opposed to a mark that's not permanent. And if you write it al shnei kosle zovios, and if you write it on two panels over here of a wall, and you write it in the corner, as Rashi explains, when you write it al shnei kosle zovios, achas b'mizrach, let's say one on the eastern side, achas b'som, one on the northern side, but smucho zulazu b'mitzor, bite by the corner, the mitzor means the corner. So if you're writing them, they can be read together. So then, or if you do this on a notebook, v'al shnei levoche pinchas, if you write it on the two, Rashi says, Pinchas shel chenvanim, the storekeepers used to keep these ledgers. Ke'ein osan shel sochem, like a businessman does. Sheish lem luchim harbe, there are many pages over here. Chakukin v'tuchim v'shaiva, and they would have them on wax. So they didn't have the simple type of paper notebooks that we did. So when you write them on these notebooks, and you can see one right next to the other, they nagin zamzin. You can read one with the other. You don't have to cut it out. You don't have to do something in between. So this is the yisod deraisa of ksiva. If you did this by accident, yechayev achatos. Fine. If a person writes on his hand, b'dio, with ink, on his hand, so yichayev also. That is considered something that is a permanent enough action. Gemara continues. Mishnah continues and says, "Hamasarid al b'saro." If you scratch letters into your skin, Rashi explains, "Hamasarid." You do it somehow b'mechasev. You take it with some sort of a etching type of a tool. And the gear said that we have in Rashi, obisid, if you do it with lime, like you burn out. But the Rashash says that this is a mistake. If you look in the Rashi's on the Rif, the word over here is besira, samach yud reish aleph, which means with a thorn. So you take some sort of a stylet or a scratchable type of a thorn, and you etch out in your skin. You make a mark in your skin. So Rebbe Lezer is chayiv chatas. Rebbe Lezer says this is a way of writing, and you be chayiv chatas. So Chum say no, this is not a normal way of writing, and therefore you would be potter. Misha continues and says, Kosav b'mashkin, if you write with liquids. Now Rashi says over here, mashkin means kimo mei tusim, like berries, shemashchirin. You take berry juice over here, and it makes a dark writing, so that's what mashkin means. And then the Mishnah continues, says, b'mei peros, it says with fruit juices, and Rashi says, kol peros, other fruit juices. The Rashash doesn't like this. He says, the mei tusim, that's included in mei peros. So the Rashash explains, mashkin means the Zion mashkin, the famous Yad Shochad Dam, the mnemonic for the seven types of liquids that are included in the Mei Mashkim, and then the Mei Peros are all the fruit juices. Or if you write ba'avak durochim, Rashi explains this is tit. This is like some sort of a mud. Loshon acher ba'avak durochim be'etzbo sarat kima osios ba'ofer nogov. Or you take your finger and you write it into the dirt. You make letters with your finger in the mud. Or be'avak asofer, Rashi explains. Afruish shokesis asofer. This is like the leftovers at the bottle of the inkwell. So you write with that. Or b'chol davar sheino miskayim, or anything that's not a davar shemiskayim. All of these, you write with these types of things. It's not a permanent mark. All of these will go away. You draw a letter in the sand, so it's gone in a few minutes. Or you draw with ben peros, it gets absorbed, and you don't see the rishom. You don't see the mark there after a few minutes. So all of these, it's not an issa deraisa. It's potter avalatzer. You're not allowed to do this with the rabbanim, but it's not going to be a chayav v'chatzis. A chayav v'chatzis has to be a permanent marking. Or alternatively, if a person does this li'achar yodo, if a person does this, what we call klachar yad, he writes with the back of his hand. In other words, Rashi says, begav yodo, here you're literally talking about, you hold the pen in between your fingers, and then you turn your fingers upside down, and you're writing backwards, so to say. V'hofach yodo v'kosav. So this is called klachar yad, not in the normal way. Or you write beraglo, you hold the pen in your foot, or befib, you hold it in your mouth, or mafeko. So we have the mashklokas, Rashi tells us about shas. Rashi says it means, over here, that you're putting it in your armpit, and atzila yodav, and Tosa says it means your elbow. In any event, all of these are abnormal ways of writing. They're shinui ways of writing. Or, kosav os achas somus l'chsav, there was already a letter written, and you write a second letter over there. Or, the kosav agabi ksav, or there's a letter written, and you rewrite over it, you trace over it. Or, Niskavi lichtov ches, you intended to write the letter ches, but instead, because of shtei zainin, you wrote two zains. If you write in script, like in a Sefer Torah, so ches looks like two zains, and then they're connected with a little attachment on the top. So you meant to put the attachment in, and you didn't. So you meant to write a ches, but instead you wrote two zains. Oh, I wrote two letters, so you might think you're chayev. In all of these situations, we're going to say you're potter. Or, achas ba'aretz v'achas b'kor, you write one letter on the ground, and one letter on a korah, on a beam. They can't be read together. Or, kosav ashnei kosli abayis, so you write on two walls of the house, like we said before, the eastern wall and the northern wall. However, they're not near each other. Or, ashnei dapi pinchos, or you write on two pieces of the notebook, of the ledger over here, but the ein neg and zem zed, they're too far away from each other. You can't read them together without doing something, cutting them out or bringing them closer in some way. So in all of these situations, this is not the normal way of writing. Therefore, potter, you're not chayv nisa daraisa. Again, it's potter avalos, you're not allowed to do smi the rabbanon. Finally, the mission concludes. It says, "Kosav osachas notrikon." If you write a letter as an abbreviation, as a notrikon over here, so then Rav Shuvim say Rimuchayev. He says Yuchayev. However, the Chacham Potrim, they say no, that's not writing two letters. So if you're writing like the letter Aleph to stand for the word Echad, so Rav Yeshua, the Messiah, would say Yuchayev, and the Chacham would say that you're Potter. Now we start the Gemara. Gemara says, "What are these types of ink? Dio means diota. Dio is a certain type of ink known as a black ink known as diota." Sam, what is that? That's Sama. That's, Rashi says, is something known as orthiment. It's a certain type of dye known as orthiment. Mefarshim explained, this is like yellow arsenic. Sam is somehow from the ground, and that's what this is referring to. Sikra, that we have at the Gemara elsewhere, when you're doing the Meiser for Behema, so you put a red paint on the 10th animal that goes through. So I'm a Rabbi Barachana, Sakrata Shema. This is something known as Sikarto, Sakrata, and this is a red dye. And Kumus, what is that? That's Koma. This is referred to as gum, a certain type of dye. Kankanto, what is that? So this is, I'm a Rabbi Barachana, I'm a Shmuel, Charta de Ush Kofe. Rashi explains over here, this is something known as ornament. What is this? This is like a shoemaker's polish. So this is what the shoemaker polishes your shoes with. It turns them black. Fine. These are these dyes. Then it says, if you make anything with a permanent marking, again, the Mishnah is not giving us general rules. It's coming to include something else. This includes what Rabbi Hananya said. And what did he say? If you were to write over here something, now he's talking about a get. So we learn whatever you write for a get, and that's called the good kasiva for a get. So that's going to be an usser for a person to write on Shabbos with. So if you write it with what's called b'nei tarya, Rashi says two explanations. Yesh omrim min pri, this is some sort of fruit juice. It's more of a permanent marker. Some sort of a rainwater that's dirty, and therefore it makes a permanent mark over here as well. So these are good types of writing in regards to a get. So they're good types of writing in regards to being over Rachmana Litzlan on Shabbos writing. And Aftzah, so Rashi explains, Aftzah throughout Shabbos is Me'afotzim, or gosh, or gallnut juices over here. Okay. These are all valid types of writing. That's what it comes to include when it says Chol Davar Shu Roshim, anything makes a permanent mark. Tani Rebbechiyah says, Kisavo bi Avar, if a person would use lead, Rashi says, Avar is Oferis, which is lead. So we have like a lead pencil. So if you write with lead and you mark it on the paper with a piece of lead, Bishachar, or if you use something called Shachar, Rashi says Shachar is something known as Picham, and Shichar is this adurmint, which we said before was the shoemaker's polish. Tosus doesn't like this. Says that why didn't he use the term that we used before, which was the kankantum? Why did he change the words around? So Tosus says that's not the right understanding. It's something else. In any event, all of these things are also good to write a get with. It's a valid get. It makes a permanent mark. So Gam Kain in Hilchus Shabbos, they're also going to be over here going to be making a person chayv chatzis rachmon al san if he writes with these types of dye. Then it said, Hamasaridis Besaro, if he makes scratches into his flesh, so then the person is also going to be chayiv over here. Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Omelem Rabbi Eliezer Lechacham. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to be chayiv. According to the Chacham, you're not going to be chayiv. So Eliezer says to the Chacham, I'll show you a case where somebody wrote, Valo Ben Stada. This person who's Ben Stada, we'll go in a moment into who he was. Tosa says over here, he's a person who lived in the time of Pappas Ben Yehuda, but we'll see a little bit more about that in a second. In any event, he said, this Ben Stada, Hotzi Kishofim Mitzrayim, he took out Kishofim Mitzrayim. Rashi explains, Shlo Yochel Lotzion, Ksuvim, Shua Chartumim Bodkin, Kol Ayotzim, Shlo Yotzi Kishofim Lamde, Livnei Beninas, Benida Acheres. The people of Mitzrayim were very careful about certain things that they knew. They had certain skills. They knew how to take out the uterus of an animal, and they didn't want to let anybody else know how to do that. So they did certain things. One of them was they were experts in black magic, and they didn't want anybody to know their black magic, right? The Chartumim and Mitzrayim were famous. So therefore, they didn't let anybody take any of their spells, any of their books of spells outside of Mitzrayim. So this one person, he wanted to figure out a way how to do this, Ben Stada. He wanted to take out, Palo Ben Stada, Hotzik Shav Mitzrayim. How did he do this? Besrit Shal Besaro. He wrote down the spells. He carved them into his skin. And therefore, when they checked to see if he had any books, they didn't undress him, and he was able to carve in all these spells onto his back, onto his stomach, wherever he carved them into. And you see, therefore, that people write like that. So Gemara says, Amulo, the Chacham say too, really has a show to Hoya. This Ben Stada was a fool. Rashi explains, Shtus Hoya Bo, he did a crazy thing. No normal human being goes and engraves in himself, carves out in himself these things. He was willing to give up his life. If they found him, they would have killed him. So in this situation, he was a shota. The aim of the arayim and a shotim. You can't bring me any riots from what individual fools do, individual shotim do. That's not a riot. That's a valid way of writing. Now the Gemara continues and requotes the Mishnah. However, if one has a sefer known as Chesronus Hashas, it's a wonderful sefer that gives you all of the censors' redactions. The censors didn't like the next piece of Gemara because it refers to Oso Ish, to Yeshua Notzri. And therefore, they took this next little piece out of the Gemara. But you can see this in the Chesronus Hashas. For those of you that have the Steinsaltz Gemaras, so he puts it in. Most of the Vilna Shas and the other Gemaras don't put it in, but Steinsaltz in his Gemaras, he put it in as well. If you don't have the Sefer Chesronus Hashas, you can look in the Steinsaltz. And he adds over here, Ben Stada. Was this guy's name Ben Stada? Ben Pandera, who? He was Yoshka Pandera. That's who he was. He was the son of Pandera. Now, Amar Rav Chista said, Baal Stada. No, how do you reconcile this? That his mother, her husband's name was Stada, but he was born of an illicit relationship, and his father was Pandera. That's why he's known as Yoshka Pandera. Now, more questions again. Baal Pappas Ben Yehuda. Pappas Ben Yehuda was his mother's husband. So where it says, you're right. El Imo Stada. His mother's name was Stada, and that's why he's known as Ben Stada over here. More questions that. Imo Miriam Magadla Sar Nishayahaba. His mother was Mary Magdalene. Imo Miriam Magadla Sar Nishayahaba. There's an old story in the Gemara, exactly that she was once taken by the Malach HaMavis early than she was supposed to be. Not for now as well. So Gemara says, so who is this person? Eloki the Amre Bipum Visa. The reason why his mother's name was Miriam Magdalena, but why was she called Stada? Because Stas Domi Bala. she committed an infidelity against her husband. That's why she was known as Stada. And that's the background of who this person Ben Stada was. There are other svarim that talk about more details of this. There are other chesronos hashas that talk about this. We'll go weiter at this point. We quote the mission now. Kosav osacha somuch luksab. If there already is a letter written and you write down another letter to it, so we said that you're not chayiv. Montana, who's the author of the mission, that says if you wrote a letter next to an already existing letter that was written before Shabbos, you're not chayiv for writing the quote second letter. So Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, Rava Bar Huna said, Delo Rabbi Lezer. This is not like the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Why? Because the Rabbi Lezer, this is Rabbi Lezer, he holds, we'll learn this in the next Mishnah, Ha'amar Achas Ala Ori Chayiv. He says if you add one woven stitch to an already existing garment, so then you're chayiv. So he holds that if there was something already existing and you add just one thing to it, that's considered significant. So too by writing. If there's already existing letter and you write add one thing to it, that's also considered significant. Then it says, Kosovo Gabik Sov, if you write a letter on top of another letter, so in other words, you trace it out, it's already there, you're not chayiv as well. So Montana, who's the author of this statement? So Gemara says, Amar Chisda, the local of Yehuda. This is not like the opinion of Yehuda. Why? Because the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hare Shah Yotzorech Lichtovas Hashem. If a person needs to write the Yud Kei Vav Kei in a Sefer Torah, and he has to have Kavana. So, Viniskavi Lichtov Yehuda. And he intends to write the name Yehuda. He didn't realize it was supposed to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. But he made a mistake, and the mistake was a good mistake. It was like a double mistake. He thought he was writing Yehuda, but he ended up writing just the Yud K and the Vav K with leaving out the Dalet. The Tov, Elohitabo Dalet. He thought he was writing Yehuda, but he left out the Dalet, so he actually wrote the Yud K Vav K, which is what he was supposed to write. And what does he do? Mavir Olov Kolmus, he goes and takes his quill, he takes his pen, and he writes over the names. He writes Yud K Vav K. He retraces those letters with his ink. Umakacho, and here he does it now, L'shem Shemayim. Dear Rav Yehuda, that's perfectly good according to Rav Yehuda. In other words, writing on top of writing is considered valid writing. Oh, Rav Yehuda is not the author of our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah it said, Kosav Agavik Sad, it's not valid writing. So Gemara says, V'chacham Mormi, L'chacham tell Rav Yehuda, no, Ein Hashem Min HaMuvchor. That is not a good writing, even according to you. Even you are more than that's certainly not good. We hold it's no good at all. But even you say that that's really not shame in Hamukha. That's not the proper way to do this. So therefore, you see the Rav Yehuda holds in the Mishnah, Ksav Gabi Ksav, he would hold that it's good, and the Chacham say it's no good. Tana, we learn another bright, so Kosav Osachas Vishlim LeSefer, if a person wrote one letter, right, so one letter is normally not enough, but this completed the book. So therefore, you did finish something. Now, Meiri points out this is not Makabah Patish. He says there's a difference between Makabah Patish and Hashlomah. I'm not sure I fully understand the Meiri, but the Meiri says that Hashlomah is not the same thing as Makabah Patish. In any event, so the Isra over here is writing. Rashi explains, since you wrote something significant, this was a book that you now completed. For example, you wrote Os Achrona Shel Achas Michov Dalet Svarim, so you wrote one of the 24 books of Tanakh, so this is considered a significant act. Or alternatively, Orag Chut Echod Vishlim LeBagid, or you weaved in the last, sewed in the last thread of a garment, Chayev, that would make you Chayev. That's what the Braisa says. Now, who's the author of this Braisa? Montana. So I'm a Rav Bar Rav Huna, Rabbi Eliezer. This is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who taught us in the next Mishnah, Domer, Achas Ala Ari Chayev. If you add on one row of weaving to an already existing garment, you are going to be Chayev. Rav Ashi Omar, Afilu Tema Rabban. No, you can even say this is the opinion of the Rabbanon, because Lahashlam Shaini, Hashlam again is different than the action of adding on one thing. Adding on one thing, a letter to another letter, that wouldn't be. But here, this would be considered significant. If you're finishing off one of the Chav Dalet books, if you're finishing off the garment, so that makes it something significant, even according to Chachamim. But in general, the Chachamim would say no, adding on one letter, adding on one row of weaving is not significant. Similarly, Omer Rav Ami, Kosav Osachas B'Tveria V'Achas B'Tzipori. If you write one letter in Tveria and you write another letter in Tzipori, Chayiv, you're Chayiv. They're close enough to each other. Kasivahi, Elish M'Chusa Kriva. They're good letters, and therefore they're just missing being close to each other, but therefore you're Chayiv. That's what Rav Ami says. Where it says, what? No, we learned in our mission, that's not true. We said, Kosav Shnei Kosli Abayis. You wrote on the northern wall and on the eastern wall of the house. Or Shnei Dapi Pinchas, were on two pieces of the ledger. So the Einag and Zemzeh, you can't read them one with the other, then Potter. So Tveria and Sipori, they're certainly far enough away you can't read them together. Where it says, Hasa Mechusa Maisa de Kreva. No, he says the difference is when it's on one wall of the house, not in the corner. So you'd have to cut out the wall. You'd have to do something in order to be able to read the two letters together. When you have them in the different parts of the ledger, so you'd have to cut out part of the ledger to be able to read them together. But here, it's just missing their you wrote one letter over here in Tveria and one letter in Sipare. There's nothing that you have to do. You just have to bring them together. There's no maisa that's missing. Hasa mechusa maisa de kreva. Hacha lo mechusa maisa de kreva. That's why Rav Ami says you will be chayiv. Tana, we learned another braisa. Higiyah osachas. If you made a correction in even one letter in an already existing sefer, so then you'll be chayiv. Some more questions. It says, Hashto kosev osachas potter. Higiyah osachas chayiv. If you write one letter, we said that you're potter according to the Chachamim. So how come if you correct one letter, you're going to be chayiv? So Rosh Hashanah says, you know what we're talking about? Hochem ayaskinon kegon shenitolo ligago shel ches. Here we're talking about where you took off the gag of the ches. Remember we said the ches is made up of two zayins. Vaso shnei zayin. And you made it into two zayins. So you wrote two letters. That's what it's talking about, higiyah. That's teretz number one. Rav Amar, kigon shenitolo lesago shel dalis. You took off the tag of the dalis, vaso resh, and you made it into a resh. Now here it's not talking about the tag and the little zions on the top of the letters. It's talking about the little part of the dalit that extends out. So here, you change the dalit into a resh. And Rashi explains, in this situation, that the osu li odom lishao sefer sheinu muga, you're not allowed to keep an incorrect sefer in your house because people may come to read it and do something wrong based upon the incorrect girsa. And therefore, when you made this sefer from being an incorrect sefer that you're not allowed to have to now a sefer that you're allowed to have by just this one letter, you're chayav even according to the opinion of the Rabbanon. So that's why this situation of higiyah makes it into a good type of writing that you'll be chayav on for Shabbos. Finally, we finish off Torah. We learn another brayson. Niskavi lichtovos achas. If you intended to write a certain letter, vali b'dosh taim, and you end up writing two letters. For example, he wants to write a ches, and he wrote two zayins instead. Chayiv, you'd be chayiv. Gemara says, "Vot not potter." We said that's not true. It's potter. Gemara says, "Lo kasha." Ho, the boy is yunei. Ho, the low boy is yunei. It depends. Now, the zayins, they have little tagging on the top of them, so. If you wanted to, ha de boy is yune, did you want those letters to have the little tagim on the top of them? So then they don't have them. So therefore you're not going to be chayav. Ha de lo boy is yune, but in a situation where you didn't want the little tagim, you're not writing it in the Sefer Torah, for example. So then you now wrote two letters, and therefore you're going to be chayav. Now, I thought we'd maybe get to the end of the parak, but this is a good break point. Already the shiur is going a long time, so we'll stop over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll finish off the parak tomorrow.